Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Truly, they are that.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinners listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
God's Holy Word from Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Let's give thanks for these words that Paul could write, being a prisoner at the time, but writing to the church and writing of these men that were his helpers. Our Father, we give thanks for this word. We also beg for thy Spirit to lead us into the truth of it and be able to speak of it rightly. We think of thy words, Lord Jesus, speaking of those, warning that they lad men with burdens too heavy to be borne, but did not touch them with one of their fingers. As we read thy word, we know that we have sins contrary to that word that need to be forgiven. And we pray for that, Father, through Christ, that while we even speak, we may have forgiveness. We may have all of that which thy word describes and promises. We pray, Father, for thy Spirit to lead into all truth, particularly in the church today, that it might be made one in the truth, both in knowledge and in obedience, that it might be one in this nation, that our nation being so divided might be brought to repentance and brought to faith and brought to obedience, and we pray that for other nations as well. We pray for the spiritual blessings first in the church and in the nation, in the home, and in individual lives. We pray also for those who need thy healing hand in the body. We pray for those in hunger and starvation. Pray for the homeless. Pray especially for those that are suffering under the terrible ravages of war, particularly the women that have been taken captive and have seen their husbands killed and their children taught the evil way that brought about the death of their husbands. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are throughout the world, the many that are in sadness, in the broken homes, the children especially, that thou wilt lead them and protect them from the ways of evil, even themselves that often become frustrated and want to take their own lives. We pray that thou wilt lead them by thy word and Spirit through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we continue here in this word, and especially in the sixth verse, speaking of the word. Last week we saw from verse 5 the exhortation that Paul gives to that church, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The church is called to be a salt and a light in the nation and round about. Christ gave those sad words, but if the salt hath lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. I'm afraid that we may be very close to that in our nation today, and other nations that have had the word in the past spoken and believed by the church. We think of how blessed England was in the past, Europe was in the past, and where they are today, and so few that even go to hear a word preached on the Lord's Day. How God needs to awaken us, and that we might have another awakening, as there was in England and Europe in our country in the 1700s. How we need to pray for that, that God would do as we read in that third verse, open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. When Jonathan Edwards saw the sin that was there in doctrine, he spoke against it. God gave him a door of utterance. But now we need to hear this word of how we are to speak. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. We have the direction close by in the previous chapter, chapter 3, and verse 16, we read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That is one way in which we can have our speech. God uses song to teach, to comfort, to lead. That is included in this word that we have here in the sixth verse. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. Sometimes God gives the answer through song, especially when I think of old people that know the songs of the past. Their minds might be weak. Many times they can sing along if these songs are played and sung. They give a message that they are familiar with and can identify. I think how now I pay much more attention to the songs and the verses that speak of death. I think of the last stanza of the song Rock of Ages. When I draw this fleeting breath, and my eyelids close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Probably I think of it in a much greater way, many times more than formerly. When I sang it, and probably didn't really pay attention to all of the words, and especially not those that referred to death. Takes the experience of death to bring God's word home to us many times. That's why Christ can say, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Sometimes he brings chastening in our life to make us listen. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But in that affliction, he learned from God. Here we have mainly how we are to give the speech to others. And we may have to have chastisement ourselves before we will learn how to speak it rightly. And I think of that also when I think of learning much in these last months of the brevity of life. So swift, those many years that I had with my wife, just seemed like a few years instead of many years. And sin is there. It was there. Now it's there in remembrance. Sometimes we wish we could do it over. But there is forgiveness. There is confession still before the Lord when we can't confess it one to another. And that's all the more reason to remember. If you are a husband or you are a wife, these words apply to you as well. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Going back to those words in that previous chapter, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Whatever a woman speaks, it should be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man, especially your husband. Answer him in meekness, answer him in submission. And then the next verse, husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them. Again, that word can apply. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man, but also every woman. So it's there for all of us. Paul here speaking to the whole church. It's true for young and old. It's true for pastors as well as for listeners. Every one of us needs to have right speech before God. And every one of us in the end will be judged by what our speech has been. Think of the words of Christ, recorded in Matthew, given while he was here on earth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Again, true of all of us, but especially of us as teachers, that we must give the right word. We will be held in account. God said to Ezekiel to warn the wicked. And he said, if you don't warn the wicked, their blood will be on your hand. Guilty for not speaking, as well as we can be guilty for speaking the wrong thing, or even speaking the right thing without grace. What is grace? Grace is from God undeserved blessing, undeserved and unearned salvation. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Including faith is a gift. So we have to realize that what God has done for us has been by grace, and that's what we need to teach and do it in the way of grace. As God has dealt with us, we should deal with others, not giving a wicked answer, not giving a wicked thought back. Let your speech be always with grace. As God dealt with us, we should deal with others. Season with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. We have not only instruction here to answer every man, we have it as well in other places. We have it in Paul writing to Timothy. He gives him this instruction. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If they're opposing themselves, they may also be opposing God. They may be opposing us. And we sometimes don't then answer them in meekness. It can be in pride. It can be in anger. It can be in impatience. But if we remember that God had to give us repentance, or we wouldn't have had it. Repentance is also a gift. After Peter went to Cornelius, the conclusion was that God had granted repentance unto life to the Gentiles. When Paul instructs the church at Rome, he said that they, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth them to repentance. God is doing it in goodness when he calls us to repentance, when he tells us we're wrong. And in turn, we have to know the same, to do what Paul is here saying to the church, and probably thinking of his fellow servants as well, that he mentions later, different ones of them. But coming back, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. There will be those who contradict. There will be those that say, we don't believe. And we have to give the right answer in the right way, both. Not just the right answer, but in grace. And how to answer. How to use the Word of God. Peter gives much the same message to those that he wrote. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we read in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to answer. Don't be afraid. The result will be with God. He'll take care of it. We might say, well, they won't understand, they won't believe, or can't do it rightly. That's not to be thought of. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Humbleness. I can't do it in myself, but God can do it through me. God can lead us. And again, we have the answer. As Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's true when it comes to the application of the word. It's true as it is in the context there, in that third chapter of Colossians, particularly with psalms and hymns, both the word and song. All of it can be used rightly. And how we could probably often give an answer. One of the answers is in the song that John Newton wrote, well known, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There we at least have a part of the answer. Grace saved a wretch like me. How thankful we can be if we know it to be true. If we know it was by grace and not work. If we know it was all of grace and not any of our work. And that is where part of the church has gone wrong through the ages. It was wrong in Israel. They went about to establish their own righteousness. It was wrong in Galatia when Paul said, are you saved by faith or by the works of the law? And many today and through years past as well say, well, we're saved by what we will, what we do, what we choose. God tells us plainly, Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Paul repeats it in Romans 3, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. when John writes about our receiving Christ and in that way becoming children of God, he says, who were born not of blood, we don't inherit it, John 1:13, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's foolishness to us. And worse than that, we hate it. Christ also said, after those wonderful words of telling us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, he said with it, everyone that does evil hates the light. Just before that, he stated that men love darkness rather than light. What hope is there then in our will? It's wicked. And we must teach that. In the time of the Great Awakening with Jonathan Edwards, he saw other doctrines that had taken place, and he was alarmed, and the people were alarmed. They saw that error was there, and they thought the Spirit was gone, the Spirit of truth. Some of them wondered, can we still be saved? But Edwards began to preach against that error. He wrote a whole book on the freedom of the will, that it is not by our will that we're saved. It's by God's will. He has to change our will. The psalmist already spoke of it long before Christ was here on earth, when he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Paul spoke of that to the Thessalonians when he said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Sometimes we go into the way of error and say, well, this is the way I did it. If it's according to Scripture, that's good. But if it's not according to Scripture, it's terrible. If we put our way, our will, above the Word of God and the will of God, it's pride. I was there myself. I accepted Christ on my own terms, in my own way, but not his way, not in the way of my great sinfulness, my enmity against God, my lack of wanting to have salvation by grace alone, even trying to prove it from Scriptures. We wrest the Scripture to our own destruction. Peter talks about that as well. We have to learn it, and then in meekness teach it. If God shows us that we're saved by his choosing, that should make us meek. It doesn't always do that. It doesn't always leave us there. Sometimes we leave that first love, as the church at Ephesus is described in Revelation chapter 2, and then we don't hold to the word with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man. We come back like the Galatians did, thinking we have done something more than others. We send with others, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Some will say, well, that's according to the law, but that's different with the gospel. It's not different with the gospel, sadly. Isaiah said of Christ, when they saw him, there was no beauty that they should desire him. He is despised and rejected among men. That's us in relationship to Christ. The Lord Jesus said shortly before his death, they hated me without a cause. If I had not spoken of them the words that I spoke, they would not have sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. That made those in his time angry, and they crucified him. Even though Pilate, the worldly man, said, I find no fault in him. The spiritual, the priests, the Levites, the scribes, the Pharisees, they said, away with him. We need to teach that to call each other to repentance. to submission to God's word, to acknowledging of the fullness of our sin, thought, word, and deed. Not just our deeds, but our thoughts and our words as well. That has to be done. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Sometimes we need to cry out to God, teach me, so I may teach. We think of the instruction also that Paul gives by Titus. There he describes himself and Titus as the sinners that they are. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's how Paul saw himself. And evidently, Titus with it when he said, we ourselves were this way. Then the answer is given. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All we have to do is believe the word, and then believing it ourselves, preach the word, and trust it in the hands of God. We read in Isaiah 55, God's word, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. That would not be true if there were not predestination, if there were not election, if there were not God's choosing. He has to be able, and he does that, for this to be fulfilled. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Again, listen, so my words be that goeth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that wherein which I please, that it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Again, how we need to pray that God will bless his word. How we need to pray that he'll call laborers to preach that word soon to every creature, and that the gospel of Christ might be known by everyone in truth and in power.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise